The Emmy Awards are Monday night. HBO's Westworld has 21 nominations, including Outstanding Drama Series. The show is set sometime in the future at a theme park, which is staffed by human-like robots, or hosts, who exist for the humans, or guests, to enact their fantasies. But at the end of season one, the hosts rebel. Season two looks at the aftermath. In May, we spoke with the creators of Westworld, husband and wife, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy. So I want to start with a big question first, which is in 2018, you know, artificial intelligence is moving right along. They're not as fancy as the robots in Westworld yet. But what do you think having this show be so popular right now means?
I think it speaks a little bit to the collective anxiety about what's happening with technology and humanity. We're in this kind of touch and go moment. And I think we're starting to feel a little more like we're losing control. And that's very much what the show's about.
You two both have some anxiety about artificial intelligence in real life.
Well, I don't let Alexa listen to my every move. We don't invite the computers into our home.
She says, while wearing an Apple Watch.
I know.
With an iPhone.
It's on airplane mode. I have to trust the airplane mode. Yeah, I mean, and we're not big on social media typically. So, yeah, I think we have a little bit of skepticism built in.
Do you think that AI will develop in the way that it does in Westworld, which is that the hosts, in your case, are indistinguishable from humans?
No, not at all. Westworld is a flight of fancy and a parable more than anything else. The way that this seems to be playing out is with conversational AI on one level. So you have your Siri or your Alexa. And then you're looking at networked intelligence. You're looking at a narrow AI that's sifting through the data. And you're looking at the kind of algorithmic intelligence that is so prominent in the news with regards to social media. We've looked at social media as kind of a dress rehearsal for AI. A dress rehearsal in the sense that we're looking at artificial intelligence and asking the question, will we build it responsibly? There's no government agency tasked with monitoring it or regulating it. And if social media is a dress rehearsal, then we've just failed badly. If things play out with AI the way that they have done with Facebook, we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, there's a storyline in this season of Westworld that has to do with the company taking a lot of the data from the humans who are going to visit the park. It sort of sounds very familiar with what we've just heard from Facebook and other tech companies.
Yes, it's been something that we've been thinking about for a long time, you know, and I think the greatest danger that AI poses isn't so much, you know, these anthropomorphic beings who look like us and are beguiling are going to fool us. It's the fact that a intelligence without a body or corporeal form will fool us into trusting it with data, which we seem to think is it has no repercussions. But the fact is a non-corporeal intelligence can do even more damage than one that is limited to a physical form.
You know, we'd be lucky if the problem was the problem that we're facing in Westworld.
That's scary.
You know, we're dealing with Everage Wood or Tandy Newton. We'd welcome those robot overlords. The ones we've gotten instead are your Facebook feed. And I think that's far more problematic.
I want to listen to a scene from the first episode of this season. This is a flashback where Jeffrey Wright, who plays one of the park's creators, is talking to one of the hosts, Dolores, played by Evan Rachel Wood.
You frighten me sometimes, Dolores.
Why on earth would you ever be frightened of me?
Not of who you are now. Growing, learning so quickly. I'm frightened of what you might become.
He says there, I'm frightened of what you might become. What are you saying about what the hosts are learning from the guests?
Well, the hosts have seen both the best and the worst of human nature. And, you know, in the first season, we've really focused on some of the negative behaviors on the guests. And so if we are like parents to the hosts, they certainly have learned some bad lessons. But it's also a general cautionary tale about hubris, the ways in which mankind tends to invent technologies because we have this drive to create and to innovate. And we don't necessarily pump the brakes when we're doing it. We think, well, if we created it, we'll always be able to control it. And I'm not sure that that is something that we should rely on.
We have to talk about violence on this show. There's a lot of violence in the first season, but in the first episode of this season, it sort of went to a new level. And I wonder whether you had any pause about that at all.
Without a doubt. the show is asking the question why we are drawn to entertainment that features violence. We abhor violence in the real world, but most of the entertainment that we watch, most of the video games that we play, are defined by violence. In the second season, one of the things that we wanted to challenge was the audience's sense of sympathy, having built through the first season the audience's sympathy for the hosts. In the second season, now that the shoe's on the other foot, how far are we willing to go with them? And how far will we indulge their appetite for vengeance?
Jonathan Nolan, you wrote Memento. You co-wrote Interstellar, which are films that, like Westworld, play with time. Obviously, you have a strong interest in that.
Very much. Yeah. One of the things that we were most interested in with this project is perception and your understanding, a human understanding of reality. We know on some level that our understanding of reality is very limited. And when we were looking at this project, we were fascinated by the idea of, well, artificial intelligence wouldn't be limited in the same ways. They'd be limited in different ways. So the structure of the first season flowed from the fact that the hosts had perfect recall, but no mechanism for distinguishing between what was a memory and what was a present reality. And in the second season, we're playing with that more cards up.
Do the two of you ever get lost as you bounce around in time in these episodes, as you're putting them together?
We have a lot of charts. we have a lot of post-it notes all over the place. It kind of, if you look at our writer's room walls or our notebooks, it looks like somebody's having a bizarre breakdown in four different parallel planes. But somehow that helps us keep it together. We literally chart the storyline chronologically, and then we watch as those threads physically kind of wind around each other when we're laying them out.
Mm-hmm. I want to listen to another scene. This is Tandy Newton playing Maeve, who is a host who was a madam at the brothel. But as she became aware of what she was, she made her way out of the park and into the laboratory. And in this scene, she confronts a human who says that a host is just something they've programmed.
But what about me? My dreams. My thoughts. My body. Are they not real? And what if I took these unreal fingers? And use them to decorate the walls with your outsized personality. Would that be real?
So we've got Maeve and the other host that we heard earlier, Dolores, both strong women characters. I just wonder if there's anything about that. Did you try to lift up the women characters in this season of the show, especially given all of the Me Too movement that's going on right now?
It happened much more organically than that. By the time the Me Too movement started, we'd already finished writing all our scripts and were, you know, in the middle of production. That being said, the Me Too movement is a movement that feeds off of what has been happening in society, and neither Jonah nor I are blind to that, nor are we immune to that. And so, you know, when embarking upon this journey, in terms of, okay, we have the chance to do a Western sci-fi creatively, what are the most exciting opportunities there? And the most exciting opportunities are often the terra incognita in terms of character. And for that, it's the women. You know, a lot of these movies, they really didn't dig that deep into the female characters. And so creatively speaking, you always want to try to say something new and explore people that you haven't seen before.
What is it like being the co-executive producers of this show and also being married?
Busy.
Do you ever not talk about work? I mean, what?
Well, we had two kids while we were making this show. One per season, yes. So we have the work babies and we have the human babies. And when we're talking too much about work, the human babies complain loudly. And they are they're what I think keeps us sane and grounded while also somehow making our schedule more insane and less grounded.
So HBO has picked up the show for a third season. How long do you see this story playing out?
Depends on if you're asking in story terms or in chronological years.
I was just going to say
both.
That.
All the way to the bitter end.
That works on both levels.
That's Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, the co-creators and executive producers of the HBO show Westworld. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Our interview with Westworld creators Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy from last May. The show is up for 21 Emmys. Emmys coming Monday night.